Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docter and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Charlie's out on a little bit of vacation here in L.A., so I'll be taking you through the hour. Nice to have you with us. Ready to roll on a Saturday morning, thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solution with exceptional follow-through. 713-780-3776 is the numbers. We'll take your calls in the fourth segment. A lot to do before then. You've got the RSM Classic going on the PGA Tour right now. That's the eighth and final event of the fall season. And really looking at the scoreboard, so much on the line there in Sea Island at the Seaside and Plantation course. Because if you are a player that ends the eighth event of the fall outside the top 125, you lose your job. And there's really no other sports situation like that. You look at this leaderboard, Michael Thorbjørnsen, promising prodigy out of Stanford. He's tied for fourth. You know, you look at, he really needs a win or a great finish. You know, he's 138th on the FedEx Cup standings. If he finishes top five, it'll get him inside 119, but really needs to get inside that top 100. That's the magic number there. And you've got a ton of other situations there. You have an amateur that's tied for fourth, Luke Clanton, great sophomore out of Florida State. So we'll get to the RSM leaderboard. You also have the Australian PGA Championship going on as the European Tour already starts their 2025 season. We'll get to how their 2024 season ended with Rory McIlroy winning the DP World Tour Championship in just a second. And you also have the second stage of Q School going on. The first of five second stage Q School sites just finished up in Savannah. The top 20 golfers will, you know, that came out of that site will move on to the final stage. And at final stage of Q School, if you finish top five there, top five or ties, you automatically get your PGA Tour card. I think the top 35% of the field at final stage of Q School gets some kind of conditional status on the Korn Ferry Tour and the Americas Tour, some of the lower level tours. But you finish top five or ties at final stage of Q School at the beginning of December, and that'll be on Golf Channel. You automatically get your PGA Tour card. So we're going to have someone who just got through to final stage, Bryson Nimmer, former Clemson superstar. He finished tied for 13th yesterday at second stage of Q School. He will move on to final stage. He's been a pro since 2019, just got married a couple weeks ago, has really had a grindy and gutty 2024. So I look forward to getting Bryson in here at 8:30 and getting the latest from him and how he's going to prepare for final stage and what it would mean to him to get his PGA Tour card. A long time coming for Bryson Nimmer, superstar junior, superstar in college. Definitely going to make his mark on the PGA Tour sometime in the next 3 years when you look into the crystal ball. As far as, you know, what happened this week, you know, and what with the weekend that we're coming off of last week, you know, the Spirit International Amateur Golf Championship, I'm not going to spend, you know, the whole segment on it, but really that just finished up on Saturday at Whispering Pines Golf Club, the number one golf club in Texas. That was a sensational amateur event. It's better than the U.S. Amateur. It's better than the Walker Cup. It's actually the best amateur golf tournament on the planet. You've got the top 80 players rolling in here from 20 countries. And I saw, you know, the most amazing golf last week at Whispering Pines. So basically how it works is, you know, you have the top two males and the top two females come to Texas to play for their country. And Team England, led by four outstanding golfers, Dominic Clemens, who's at Alabama, Matthew Berry, who's at LSU, Patience Rhodes, who is at Arizona State, and Nelly Ong, who's at Ohio State. They shot 44 under over three rounds at Whispering Pines. That's unheard of, really. I think in 2021, when Team USA won, I think the winning number was only, you know, in the mid 20, not only, but still very impressive, but about 25 to 27 under. England rolls into Whispering Pines this year, takes it to 44 under. That was incredible. I think when you look into the crystal ball, you know, Team England and the talent they have coming up the ranks, we saw Matthew Fitzpatrick back in 2021 when the first major for an Englishman since Nick Faldo in 1994. I think you're going to get a ton of English major winners here over the next 10 years. So we'll keep you up to date on that. You know, as far as the pro game is concerned, as aforementioned, the PGA Tour is in its eighth and final fall series event, which we'll get into a little bit later on. We'll let you know, you know, whose jobs are on the line, you know, who needs to finish inside the top 125 on the FedEx Cup money list to keep their jobs. We'll get you up to date on that. The DP World Tour, you know, the European Tour, they wrapped up their 2024 schedule last week at the Humaira Golf Estates in Dubai, where Rory McIlroy captured his third career DP World Tour championship and won the Race to Dubai, which is the European Tour's money list. It was an emotional win for Rory. Played great. You know, it's been a rough year for him. You know, he was yet to win on the European Tour this year. He was world number three with Sky Sports there at Humaira after his final round.
It's more relief. Right now, I got a chance to speak to my entire family. They all FaceTimed me in a group chat, so I couldn't.
Now that would be Rafael Campos, and he won the Bermuda Championship. He won the Bermuda Championship last week. That's another great story. We'll get you the Rory audio in just a second. When we'll get to Rafael Campos as we break down the updates to the PGA Tour, which were made this week. We'll do that in the second segment. But, you know, Rory talked a lot about, you know, in that audio, a lot about the ups and downs this year. Obviously, you know, he did win three times. I think a lot of people forget he won the Hero Dubai Desert Classic. He won the Zurich Championship. He won the Wells Fargo Championship. And then he won at the DP World Tour Championship last week. Now, you know, he did not go winless, but he had a lot going on. You know, he nearly lost his family. You know, he had divorce papers served, you know, to his wife about, it was right after the Wells Fargo Championship. We have the Rory audio. Let's hear from Rory after that final round at the DP World Tour Championship.
It means a lot.
Gather yourself. I'll keep talking. You just take a deep breath.
Yeah. I've been through a lot this year, professionally, personally, and it feels like the fitting end to 2024. You know, I've persevered this year a lot. Had close calls, wasn't able to get it done. So to be able to get over the line, you know, I got off to a great start, and then I didn't have my best around the middle of the round. I think Rasmus and I both sort of struggled to get any momentum, but I thought saving par on 15 was huge. I made four great swings coming in, the wedge on 16, the shot into 17, and then the two shots into the last. So really pleased with the way I finished, and you know, thankfully I hung on a tough day and got the job done.
So, once again, Rory did not go winless this year. He won the Dubai Desert Classic at the beginning of the year. Then he won the Zurich Two Ball with Shane Lowry, which is really a goof-off tournament. And then he won the Wells Fargo Championship. You know, the Zurich, it is a goofball, you know, tournament, but it does count as a PGA Tour win. And Rory passed Dustin Johnson and Johnny Miller on the overall PGA Tour wins list. this year. Rory now has 26, two ahead of Greg Norman, by the way. But, you know, obviously the way Rory reviews his season is primarily based on majors, and it's almost been, you know, 11 years since Rory won his last major championship, and this year only added on to the scar tissue that he's endured over the years at the majors. He really got nothing going at the Masters, finishing 22nd. Rory, you know, finished 12th at the PGA, which wasn't terrible considering he shot three rounds of 68 or better. You know, the second round, 71 for Rory at Valhalla, crushed his chances considering Xander got it to 21 under. The U.S. Open at Pinehurst will obviously be the tournament Rory looks back on and you know, probably feels like he threw up all over himself there on the back nine. That's all there is to it. Bryson DeChambeau played excellent golf, and we knew that he was going to win. It was my pick for the U.S. Open at 35-1. But Rory, that was Rory's golf tournament there on the back nine on Sunday. He missed a four-footer on 16 and then missed the three-and-a-half-footer on 18 in that final round, which is going to haunt Rory forever. I think he absolutely should have made that four-footer there on 16 at Pinehurst. I think the three-and-a-half-footer on 18 that he missed is a completely different story. It was breaking, you know, 3 feet left to right. The average Joe at home is missing that, you know, 19 times out of 20. Very tough putt there on the greens at Pinehurst. You know, it really, you know, after Pinehurst, you know, Rory went on to miss the cut in the final major of the year at the Open. It really took Rory, you know, a couple months to get over the U.S. Open. You mix in the fact, you know, as we mentioned, that he had some personal stuff going on after he temporarily separated with his wife, Erica. You know, he had the City of Jupiter serve her divorce papers the day after his win at the Wells Fargo. I think that made a lot of people think about Rory a little bit, and, you know, how crazy is this guy? You know, and then he changed his mind a week later. You know, it's kind of like the PGA Tour and LIV Golf thing for Rory. You know, he flip-flops every week. 1 week, he thinks that the PGA Tour should accept the PIF's investment. The other week, he's telling Greg Norman and the rest of the LIV guys that, you know, the PGA Tour doesn't need them. Same kind of thing played out in his marriage this year. I mean, he had, you know, he had the City of Jupiter serve his wife divorce papers, and then a week later, changes his mind. You know, Rory has a 4-year-old daughter at home as well. So this, you know, 2024 overall was probably not a year that Rory would like to remember. You know, despite being the best player on the European Tour and a top 10 player on the PGA Tour, you know, high expectations for Rory, of course, but as we know, the average fan only cares about the majors. And, you know, it's been, you know, 11 years since the 2014 PGA Championship. And, you know, he's no longer the player who, you know, who is active with the most major championship wins. Brooks Koepka has five. You know, Brooks Koepka has five after Koepka's win at the 2023 PGA. Koepka won the 2017 and 2018 U.S. Open, and then he won the PGA in 2018, 2019, and 2023. So not only has an entire generation not seen Rory win a major yet, but he's also not the best golfer of the decade and not the best golfer that followed the Tiger era. And that is something that bothers Rory a lot. Rory's voiced it this year, and Koepka has thrown out plenty of jabs, you know, about Rory only having, you know, four majors in interviews. You know, even though the two are pretty good friends, they play a lot together at home in Jupiter, Florida. Great friends, those two. But I'd give Rory's season a B-. You know, winning the DP World Tour Order of Merit and winning the Wells Fargo Championship, plus finishing 25th or better in three of four majors, is pretty solid for any player. Especially from the perspective of the fact that, you know, Rory was very close to losing his family. Plus, he continued to insert himself in the LIV PGA Tour drama every week. I think in 2025, you see a much more focused Rory McIlroy, because at 35 years old, I would say his window to win a major will be up at 42. I would say he has 7 years to win three majors to match his expectations. I know you think about, you know, Tom Watson nearly winning the 2009 Open at 59 over Stewart Cink, but that's not the type of golf Rory plays. You know, he wins tournaments by driving it better than anyone out there, and the new generation is really catching up at a fast rate. You know, you heard me talk about the Spirit International last week at Whispering Pines. You know, the speed that I'm seeing, the speed, the sharpness of the irons, the scoring. Watch four college players from England shoot a combined 44 under par over three rounds at Whispering Pines, toughest golf course in Texas. Unbelievable. So, clock's ticking for Rory. I give him 7 more years. He'll get it done. He'll get a couple more majors. I'm not worried about it. On the other side, we will talk about the PGA Tour and its announcement this week that some improvements would be made to its competitive structure. We'll break down whether those are improvements and a couple things they got wrong. We'll tell you what's going to change starting in 2025. Remember, 8:30, Bryson Nimmer, who is headed to final stage of Q School, joins us here on ESPN 97.5 Houston. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. Back after this.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, the PGA Tour announced this week that some improvements would be made to its competitive structure, including eligibility, field sizes, and changes to the point system. That was all approved by the PGA Tour Policy Board this week. So starting in 2026, exempt status on the PGA Tour will change from 125 to the top 100 on the FedEx Cup standings. And, you know, once again, starting in 2026, any player ranked between 101 and 125 at the end of the PGA Tour season will, you know, that will not be considered full status anymore. Many years ago, you know, there's a player named J.J. Henry from Fort Worth, went to TCU, nice guy. He finished 125th on the money list like 3 years in a row, and he would continuously reattain full status on the number by finishing top 125. Now, if you don't finish starting in 2026, if you are outside the top 100 on the money list at the end of the year, you are no longer a full member on the PGA Tour. And also starting in 2026, this one I really don't agree with. In 2026, the number of PGA Tour cards available to the top finishers on the Korn Ferry Tour will decrease from 30 to 20. That is a ton of cards to take away from the Korn Ferry Tour. You don't see any other sports league taking jobs away right now. The NBA is expanding. The MLB is looking to add a city. I think they're going to Nashville here in the next couple of years. NFL could go global, yet the PGA Tour just erased 10 PGA Tour cards coming from its feeder tour. You look at 36-year-old Rafael Campos, who won his second PGA Tour event last week, the Bermuda Championship. Campos finished among the last of the 30 Korn Ferry Tour members who earned their PGA Tour cards after the 2023 season. He then struggled on the PGA Tour for the entirety of 2024. He was on the verge of losing his card. And then he won the Bermuda Championship last week. Four rounds of good golf, punching his ticket to every signature event and major championship in 2025. So Campos, his life completely changed last weekend. And that would have never happened had the Korn Ferry Tour been giving out 20 cards instead of 30. Yeah, incredible win last week from Rafael. I really enjoyed the coverage of Port Royal. Here was Campos after that three-shot victory.
It's more relief. Right now, I got a chance to speak to my entire family. They all FaceTimed me in a group chat, so I couldn't even speak. Like when I was talking to them, so it's relieved right now. I know once I get back to the hotel, there's going to be a lot of crying once I personally start talking to them, and just grateful, man. just extremely grateful to have had this opportunity, especially such an unbelievable week with my daughter. And I'm just extremely happy to be a champion and not have to worry about where I'm going to be playing in the next couple of years. That was something that was bothering me for the last, 6 months. And ironically, how everything just flipped. And now, fortunately, I don't have to. I can just go and enjoy and play golf.
So you can tell how concerned Campos was with losing that card. There's not too many of them available, and they will continue to dwindle starting in 2025. It is the first time the PGA Tour has reduced full-time cards since 1983. And as aforementioned, you don't see any other sports doing this. The NFL is growing, the MLB is growing, NBA is growing, soccer is growing. But, you know, with golf, just as the Saudis are getting ready to dump $6 billion into the PGA Tour, golf decides to shrink and really, you know, live as equally as guilty with their pathetic 40-man fields with no qualifier. That's a closed shop that the Saudis are running. And, you know, unfortunately, the PGA Tour is starting to follow that blueprint a little bit. So in 2026, the KFT will only give out 20 PGA Tour cards instead of 30. You will still see 10 PGA Tour cards available through the DP World Tour, but the PGA Tour is going to end Monday qualifying for most tournaments, and they will also have smaller field sizes in most tournaments starting in 2026. Phoenix Open and the Shriners in Vegas will go from 144 to 132 players. The Players' Championship, the fifth major, will go from 144 to 120 golfers. That's ridiculous. And, you know, there's a ton of different perspectives to take away from the changes, you know, the PGA Tour is making. Number one, there's over 2,000 professional golfers floating around KFT, America's Tour, mini tours, Monday qualifiers, barbecue tour, all capable of competing in a PGA Tour event. Just within the PGA Tour, you'll have 170 golfers competing for 100 full-time cards. So they're really shrinking this thing down. That's number one. Number two, the tour really pushed on the fact that because the first and second rounds of a lot of events don't finish before daylight, they said that was the main reason they are having to reduce cards and cut field sizes. That is garbage. The reason first and second rounds of PGA Tour events are having a tough time getting done before daylight is because players are basically sitting there taking 10 minutes to hit every shot. Their pre-shot routine takes 10 minutes. You know, their little aim point, you know, where you see players on the green, you know, put their fingers in front of their face to try to read the greens. That's the problem, not the field sizes. Lucas Glover talked about it. Matthew Fitzpatrick talked about it. The PGA Tour moves way too slow. They need to enforce a shot clock exactly like Major League Baseball did last year. The PGA Tour said 28% of tournaments in 2024 had at least one round that wasn't completed on schedule due to darkness. But here's where they're wrong. That is not because there's too many players in the field. That is a product of slow play. And ESPN's golf beat writer, Mark Schlabach, pressed the PGA Tour about the slow play issue. The PGA Tour said, "We dish out fines for slow play, but they would not specify how much or who is getting fined." And PGA Tour is a 501c3, so they have no obligation to share that information with us. So number two, I don't think it's the field sizes. I think it's slow play. And number three, you can also look at this whole thing the way three-time PGA Tour winner Chris Kirk looks at it. Great golf will take care of itself. If you are playing elite golf, all of this takes care of itself. If you can qualify for the PGA Tour and pop off a quick win like Jake Knapp last season, you don't have to worry about any of this. But if you are the Kevin Tways and the Mark Hubbards and the J.J. Henrys of the world, and you know you're just kind of getting by, making some cuts, and you're finishing, you know, 100th to 125 every year, yet these changes are going to knock those players off the PGA Tour. That's the bottom line. As far as – we got to take a quick break in a second. As far as where we're at with the pro golf, the RSM Classic going on right now in Sea Island, Georgia. Patrick Fishburne leads the way at 11-under. Maverick McNealy and Lee Hodges are in a tie for second at 10-under. Superstar duo in a tie for fourth. Luke Clanton and Michael Thorby Olsen, they're in a tie for fourth at 9-under. And then Nico Vacheverria and Michael Kim and Adrian Dumont de Chastart in a tie for sixth at 8-under. As far as the DP World Tour in this first event of 2025 for their season in Australia, Cam Smith is in a tie for first with Elvis Smiley at 10-under. We have Cam Smith from Tuesday at 8-1 odds. That is, you know, hopefully going to cash after that. The Aussie PGA final round, this is a tournament that was shortened to 54 holes. They got a ton of rain in Australia this week. So that is going to end sometime in our time here in America, Central Time. That should be finishing sometime over tonight. So we'll keep an eye on that. On the other side, Bryson Nimmer joins the show, made it through second stage of Q School. You can watch him on Golf Channel at the final stage of Q School there at the beginning of December. We'll be back after this with Nimmer. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, the first of five sites for second stage of Korn Ferry Tour Q School wrapped up yesterday. The top 20 players from that second stage site in Savannah, Georgia, at the Landings Course are through to final stage, where top five and ties get their PGA Tour card. We now go over to the guest line to welcome in Bryson Nimmer, who is one of those 20 players from the Savannah site that is going to final stage. Bryson, congratulations. How are you feeling this morning?
Thank you, Will. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Obviously pretty good. Glad to get through and on to the next round, on to final.
What's on the agenda for celebration Saturday, Bryson? Are you headed to the Clemson game?
I'm not doing the game. I'm prepping to watch this Indiana-Ohio State game. I'm excited to watch that one.
Incredible, incredible. We got that on here in the studio as well. Now, as far as Q School, by the looks of the scorecard, you know, it looked like a grindy and gutty week, but it was enough to get the job done. How did you assess your performance there at second stage?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's always second stage is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do in golf. It's different kind of nerves that you never feel anywhere else. I mean, it's basically your whole career on the line for 4 days. So definitely nervy and just glad to get the job done. It wasn't perfect like you would hope for, but just trying to get through to the next round. That's all that matters.
Had you played Deer Creek before?
I have. So we play the Korn Ferry event on the schedule there every year. So I've played it about three times in tournament play.
Got it. And Bryson, you've competed on every PGA sanctioned tour, including the PGA Tour, and you had some great finishes near the end of the Korn Ferry Tour season this year when you played your way into Albertsons and the Simmons Bank and the KFT Tour Championship. Are you enjoying the process of the road to the PGA Tour, or does it wear on you a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, really. I mean, I think I still enjoy it. I love it. I just love competing and, you know, glad that the tour gives us the opportunity to do that. And I really enjoy the travel and all that side of it too. It definitely wears on you. You know, I think this is my fifth year playing competitive golf and doing all the travel and everything, and you obviously get tired, but, you know, kind of found my groove again, and that kind of makes me excited to keep doing it.
Yeah, and I also saw, Bryson, you just got married. Big congratulations there. Did you tie the knot between first and second stage?
I didn't. I actually did it during the Korn Ferry playoffs. I did it between, I think it was Boise and Nashville. We got married the week between those two.
And when you planned the wedding, was it a situation where, you know, if you by chance had a tournament in the way, you would kind of put the golf to the side, or how'd the preparation with that go? Because it's such a crazy time in the golf season.
Yeah, it's crazy, Will. I mean, you're having to kind of figure out what your schedule looks like, you know, obviously like a year in advance. And a lot of credit to my wife, because I literally did nothing. She basically planned the whole thing. I just had to show up. So it worked out really well. It was a little hectic getting from, you know, tournament to wedding, wedding to tournament. But worked out, and glad we were able to do it when we did it.
And will you still reside there in Sea Island, Georgia?
I actually moved back home to Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Not too far away, about an hour and a half, but still over here on the East Coast, and still get down to Sea Island and St. Thomas as much as I can.
Beautiful, beautiful. What do you do between now and December 3rd to prepare for final stage of Q School at TPC Sawgrass?
Just still a lot of the same thing. I was actually talking to my dad about it this morning. You know, trying to keep the same rhythm and everything each stage. You know, first stage, I tried to kind of take a week off, practice real hard the week before the tournament, and then go compete. And I'm probably going to do the same thing. I'll probably take some time off for Thanksgiving and then try to find something to play in leading up to finals and then go compete again. So just keep the rhythm, keep doing what I'm doing, and working with my swing coach and all that, and just make sure my game's ready to go when it's time to compete.
Once again, final stage of Q School starts December 3rd. That's going to be live on Golf Channel. We can watch Bryson Nimmer. Then, Bryson, who is your current coach, and how long have you worked with him?
Yeah, I actually I started working with a new guy this year. Really helped a ton. He's up in Cartersville, Georgia, and started working with him about 3-4 months ago, and ever since, I mean, I've played really, really good golf. I had some great finishes there in the playoffs on Korn Ferry, and just really excited. His name's Scott Hamilton, and huge shout out to him for everything he's helped me with, and my game's in the best spot it's been in my whole career, so I'm really happy about that.
Can you give the listener an idea of what kind of your preparation that first week of December is going to be like? How early will you get to TPC Sawgrass, and what are those 2-3 days before, you know, the first round look like?
Yeah, I'll get down there probably, you know, at least 2 days before. Just going to be, it's a little tough with finals. Finals is on two different golf courses. You alternate days. And so you got to basically play practice rounds on both of them, see, you know, kind of where the pins are going to be, the weather conditions, all that kind of stuff. And just try to get down there and get a good idea for the golf course, make sure, you know, everything in my bag fits as far as clubs. You know, sometimes there's certain holes that you need certain shots that you don't have with the clubs you currently have in your bag, and you need something else. So it's just kind of a basically assessment days. You're trying to figure out what best suits you for that golf course. So that's basically what I'll be doing.
And how many have you played? Are you pretty familiar with Sawgrass as it is?
I am, yeah. So I played, I got through to finals last year as well. So I've played the two courses. So that helps a lot. And, you know, it's just going to be a lot of the same. I think the weather conditions and course conditions could be different. That'll be the only thing I'll have to adjust for.
I have a question for you just in the world of pro golf, and I'm sure you're not too focused on this, being that, you know, you're in the middle of one of the most important stretches of the season at Q School. But when the PGA Tour makes an announcement this week that they would be reducing PGA Tour cards coming from the Korn Ferry Tour, Bryson, do you put much thought into this, or are you one of these guys that knows that your best golf will be good enough regardless of how many cards are offered?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to block it out. You can't really think about all that and everything going on in the golf world with the tour, but it's definitely unfortunate that they're definitely making it a lot harder to get there. Yeah. As opposed to staying there is kind of the way we all look at it. And, you know, I totally understand it for the guys that are already out there. They want to have a little more job security, and that's totally understandable, but it is going to be a lot harder. And, we just have to prepare for it. And like you said, just try to play the best golf that you can and not worry about it. Let that take care of it.
You've played, you know, almost everywhere in the world. I mean, especially within the PGA Tour, you know, sanctioned tours, Canada, Latin America. You've played a couple events on the PGA Tour. As a pro golfer, what's been your favorite tournament to go to? What's been your favorite location to go to, and why?
Yeah, like you said, I've played everywhere. I've gotten the full tour experience and gained a lot of experience, you know, just being able to see all the different courses and places they play. But, you know, I'm biased, but I'd have to say, you know, my home tournament here in Hilton Head at Harbor Town, I've gotten to play twice. And, you know, growing up here, that was always a dream of mine. So I'm pretty biased. That'd be my favorite.
That's great stuff. That's Bryson Nimmer. You'll be watching him on Golf Channel December 12th through the 15th for the final stage of Q School at TPC Sawgrass. And then we'll look forward to watch him at Hilton Head there at home during the 2025 season. Bryson, you're going to kill it. Thanks for spending a couple minutes with us this morning.
Of course, Will. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. Have a good weekend. That is Bryson Nimmer. Former Clemson standout, turned pro in 2019, really a solid professional golfer. Got to spend a little bit of time with him on the practice green at the Veritex Bank Championship earlier this year. Nice guy, solid dude, great player, really fired up to see what he can do at final stage in just a couple weeks. And really interesting to get his perspective on the PGA Tour announcements. I think Chris Kirk's, you know, take on it that, you know, your good golf will take care of itself, it is true to some degree. But as I said, one of the most shocking things about these changes are the fact that the amount of PGA Tour cards coming from the Korn Ferry Tour, the main feeder tour to the PGA Tour, the AAA to the MLB, the G League to the NBA, you know, the fact that they are cutting jobs coming from their main feeder tour from 30 to 20 is absolutely ridiculous. It is one of the worst moves I've seen pro golf make in the last 5 years. And that's saying a lot. I've seen a lot of bad stuff. The LIV Tour is a horrible product. The television station it's on, the CW Network, horrible station. I've seen golf make a lot of bad moves over the last 5 years, none of which have been worse than the Korn Ferry Tour decreasing the amount of cards that are going to go to the PGA Tour from 30 to 20. That is not okay. They're going to have to do something about that. We will take your calls on the other side, break down a couple of leaderboards, hear from a couple of leaders at the RSM Classic. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour by Insperity. Back after this.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
All right, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here. You've got the RSM Classic going on right now. Patrick Fishburne leads the way there at 11 under. You've got some excellent contenders in the mix there with Luke Kland and Michael Thorby Olsen. I can't talk highly enough about those two players. When you look into golf's crystal ball, next 10 to 15 years, Michael Thorby Olsen and Luke Kland will 100% be major champions. Number two, you got the BMW Australian PGA Championship. That has been shortened to 54 holes due to rain. Cam Smith is in a tie for first with little-known Elvis Smiley. I've never heard of this guy. What a name, Elvis Smiley. Two first names there. You know, he is ranked 241st on the Challenge Tour. Has been playing some decent golf during this Australian swing. But my pick since the start of the week was Cam Smith at 8-1 to win. So I'll be rooting him on overnight. You know, as far as this RSM leaderboard, I don't think Fishburne and McNealy stay at the top. I really think, you know, you've got Clanton there at 9-under, 2-back, Thorby Olsen 9-under, 2-back, you know, Ludvig Åberg a little bit more down that leaderboard at 5-under, 6-back there in a tie for 17th. Åberg played great yesterday, second round, 8-under 64 at the Plantation course. So a lot going on as far as this RSM Classic leaderboard. Let's get to one of your calls. We'll go to Tim in Pensacola. Timmy, what's on your mind?
Doc, what's going on?
Timmy time, baby. What's going on, Timmy?
Well, we have a lot of golf, and like you were talking about, we have Patrick Fishburne with a one-shot lead over Maverick McNealy, and coming off shooting 8-under yesterday, I believe. Yeah, a solid 8-under par, scratch, bogey-free round.
Yeah, pretty good day there for Fishburne yesterday. You know, he set a career low 9 on the front side of the Plantation course. He shot, you know, 6-under 30. I think we have a little bit of audio from Fishburne. Let's hear that there, AJ.
You never know what golf's going to bring. So, I mean, you could shoot 45 or 35 or 29. You never know what it's going to bring. And I kind of, like I said, I got off to a good start, hit it really close on the first hole, then I had a good look on the second hole, and But I just kind of kept the momentum going. Made a nice eagle on 8, two really good shots in there to about 6 feet. And then 9 was pretty lucky. I was kind of just left of the green, a little bit in the fringe, and ball was probably going to go 6 feet by, and it hit the hole and went in. So that was pretty lucky.
Tim, I love this guy. I mean, he talks like one of us. You know, he wakes up 45, 29, 35. He doesn't know. I like Fishburne. It doesn't seem like he's scared of much.
Oh, exactly. I agree with you 100%. And I love Fishburne. And like he was just talking about coming off fresh 64, the numbers say he has a great opportunity to do it again today.
Yeah.
As he is first on the PGA Tour in third round scoring average.
Wow.
So the numbers say he's first on the PGA Tour and third round scoring average. So the numbers say he could post another low round today and put himself like in a very good spot, a comfortable spot going into Sunday.
Wow. Fishburne seems very favorable as far as some of these third round props, Timmy. You know, you look back at the fall he's had, third at the Pro Corps, 12th 2 weeks ago in Cabo. Seems like his time is coming. We'll check on those third-round props. Fishburne, excellent target. As Timmy just said, first on the PGA Tour in third-round scoring. Fishburne, excellent option for some Saturday props. Let's talk Maverick McNealy for a second, Tim. You know, 10-under and a tie for second. You know, he shot a second round 2-under 70 after opening with a 62 on the Plantation course on Friday. You know, McNealy, he's been great in these opening rounds, tends to, you know, throw up all over himself in the third and fourth round. We'll see what happens this weekend. He spoke to the press about how the cold and windy conditions in Sea Island impacted his game on Friday.
I think they're tough for different reasons. I think I would say yesterday was a little bit tougher and my game was definitely a little bit sharper. I think the challenge on the back nine today was when that wind started to die down. It got a lot gustier. And you're guessing, is this ball going to carry 30 yards further or 5 yards further than the number? That was a challenge. I was really felt like everything was a 10 out of 10 yesterday, and it was closer to 8 out of 10 today. But walking on that range this morning and not being able to feel my hands, I was saying to myself, if I get to double digits, I'll be pretty happy with that, and I did that today.
Tim, I have nothing on McNealy on the card this week. I can't get a feel for him. Yeah, you know, he has a ton of top 20 finishes. He has no problem finishing top 20. But when it comes to inserting himself at the top of a leaderboard on Sunday, it seems like he really has a tough time doing that. Do you see the same thing?
I do. And I think there's been
Stanford guy, Timmy, really smart, McNealy. Maybe a little too smart.
Yeah. And also, but when you look at the numbers of how he's done this week, this third 2 days, his numbers look absolutely amazing going into the weekend. He's 12th off the tee. He's 7th in approach. He's 10th around the green. He's 3rd putting, and he's 1st in shots gained total. So that's pretty his game's in good shape right now. So if he is able to carry it into the weekend, like you said, I don't know how he could fare on Sunday if it's, you know, like a 3 or 4 man
right.
race.
Right, with Clanton coming.
I don't know how McNealy holds up.
Yeah.
But he's also, but another thing with McNealy is maybe this is the Sunday that everything changes.
Wow.
Because when you look at his numbers, he happens to be 7th on the PGA Tour in 4th round scoring.
Okay, so he's got to get through. He's got to find a way to get through Saturday. It is really what it sounds like we're talking about. Today is monumental for McNealy.
And I don't think the weather should be near as bad an issue as it has been the previous 2 days.
No, I don't think so either. Also tied for 2nd is Lee Hodges at 10 under. You know, hats off to Hodges, 2nd round, 9-under-63 yesterday. That's incredible. But let's move on to who is tied for 4th, Timmy. That is Luke Clanton. He is 9-under, you know, 2nd round, 7-under-65 on the plantation course yesterday. You know, this is a sophomore at Florida State who, you know, is still an amateur. He's had 3 top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour, all that came at the end of the spring. You know, he's back this weekend at Sea Island with a chance to win over the weekend. Here was Clanton with the media scrum after his 2nd round 65.
It hasn't been that long since we saw an amateur win on the PGA Tour. Is that kind of what your sights are set on this weekend?
Again, just trying to play some good golf. You know, from what I've learned over the last couple events is, you know, everyone's really good out here. And, you know, you can play good golf and still not win it. So I'm just going to go out there the next couple of days and, you know, enjoy the weekend, have some fun, and have my best friend in the back.
You earned another PGA Tour. You accelerated a point by making the cut. Is that one box checked this for the week?
I hate to say it, but, I mean, I guess so. Yeah, but, again, I'm just trying to play some good golf. You know, I think, you know, my people in the background have been helping out a lot with that, just kind of settling down and understanding that, you know, if I can play some good golf, good things will happen. And, you know, I think over the fall season, I was a little bit tired and got a couple weeks off before this event and, you know, kind of got some more energy coming into here, and it was awesome.
You have your coach here this week. Who can you let us know who's here and who's in your crew this week?
Yeah, we got a lot of people here this week. Mom and dad, you know, my best friend on the bag and his family, and then my girlfriend as well, and Jeff Leishman and my agent, Ben Walter. And, you know, that kind of team behind me has been amazing for the last couple of months. They've been very helpful with kind of understanding and learning things, and Jeff Leishman's been a massive help for sure.
Timmy, it sounds like this is Clanton's Masters. I mean, he's got the girlfriend out there. He's got superstar swing coach Jeff Leishman out there, who, you know, brought Daniel Berger to the top of the world of golf, you know, in the late 2010s there. He's got Ben Walter out there, his agent, you know, who's the famed agent of Jason Duffner. I feel like Clanton's really clicking. I'm tempted to take a little bit of Clanton heading into the weekend. What are you seeing there?
I really love Clanton. My one thing with Clanton this weekend is if he can hold up around the greens. He's actually lost half a shot this week around the greens. Yeah, so which is kind of shocking. You're like, wow, he's two shots back. He's played phenomenal golf, and he's lost half a shot around the green.
Wow.
Which comes, you know, with the pressure comes Sunday, you know, that's kind of inevitable when you're, you know, in contention to win. It's like, if he has to get up and down to save a critical par, will he be able to do it? That is the question mark. You know, I know sometimes stats don't always translate to the moment, you know, because you can't really stat, you know, with the pressure on,
right,
can you get up and down for this par? But if he's able to get better around the green starting today, then I'll definitely like him, like his chances on Sunday. But you just can't afford to lose any, even half a shot in any statistical domination if you want to win this golf tournament. Yeah.
It's going to be very tricky for Clint. This is, you know, they're running Bermuda out there, a lot of grain going on. Like you said, if he gets hit with the big chip shot in the big moment, we don't know what's going to happen there for Clinton. You're exactly right, Timmy. The chipping has been sketchy for these first two rounds. I think there's still a lot to, you know, even if he can't go on and close this golf tournament, I think there's still a lot left there to look forward to. In the PGA Tour changes, I didn't go over them, but now, you know, if you finish top 10 in a PGA Tour event, you know, even if you're an amateur, you get into the next event. So that's something, you know, Clinton has to be looking forward to. I've got one more question for you. I know we're running out of time here. You know, Ludvig Åberg, you know, he's 5-under right now. He's in a tie for 17th, 6-back. This was the tournament favorite. He shot 3-over in the first round, then turns around in the second round, fires 8-under 64 at the Plantation course. You know, coming off a meniscus operation, can Åberg make a 6-shot charge with 2 rounds left to go at the RSM?
Well, if there's anybody in the field that was most capable of doing it, it would be Ludvig. It was very shocking to see that opening round with 3 bogeys, a triple, and only 3 birdies.
And he said he's been running around New York the last 3-4 weeks. House shopping with his girlfriend. I thought there was a ton of distraction for Åberg going into this week, Timmy.
And I agree. When a first-time home buyer with your girl, it's definitely a lot on your plate. You got to make sure it's the right house. You don't want to second-guess yourself. I mean, it takes a lot of your time and focus. But maybe after yesterday, he regained some of that. Yeah. I mean, when finishing 18 with a birdie, I mean, to close out with a 64 heading into Saturday, I call me crazy, but I think he legit could have a shot when it's all said and done come Sunday.
Timmy, great spot, great call. I think I'm on Clinton at plus 550 for my one live play going into the weekend at the RSM, and I feel very comfortable with my Aussie PGA pick, which is Cam Smith at 8-1. Tim, great call. You've got 10 seconds. Who's your pick for the RSM this weekend?
My pick for the RSM is going to be Maverick McNeely.
All right, you're on the board. You got Maverick McNeely plus 450 on DraftKings. We're out of time. Great hour here. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. We'll see you next weekend.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.